Money FM 89.3, the best of Saturday mornings. Singapore Homebrew on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome back to the show. Glenn and Neil with you up until noon today, 10:39 on your Singapore Saturday morning. The topic of vaping is where we are going right now. In Singapore, it is illegal. There was a big case just a couple weeks ago where a couple gentlemen were filmed themselves in a Sentosa cable car vaping and smoking, and not surprisingly were caught, and thousands of vaping items were found in their apartment. That case is ongoing, but it is something that is against the law, whereas regular smoking of cigarettes is not. Let's get a perspective from the medical community on this now, from Dr. Ong Kian Chung, who is a respiratory physician, and Rachel Lee, a senior pharmacist at Guardian. Welcome to you both to Money FM Saturday mornings. Dr. Ong, let's start with you. Just how dangerous is vaping? Because many people think it's a good way to get off of smoking regular cigarettes. Is that a good way to look at it?
First of all, good morning and thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure for me to be talking about vaping and smoking in general. I think the main issue is that nicotine addiction that causes the problem with vaping, especially smoking, is the nicotine that makes people want to keep doing it more and more. And that, I think, is not good in general, especially for the young. And I'm very happy, being a true blue Singaporean, born and bred here, that Singapore is probably the first country in the world to ban vaping. It happened overnight. I still remember announcement in Parliament. And I think that was a smart decision. Looking back at that time, there was not much evidence out there that shows that vaping is more or less harmful. A lot of people are thinking by intuition that it should be less harmful than smoking. But looking back now, you can see what is happening to the rest of the world that allows smoking, vaping. And you look at the teenagers that are vaping. In fact, in the US, there are more vapers amongst teens than smokers now. Mm. And look at the harm that it's causing. So I think it's the smartest move. And Singapore being good at banning stuff, and I think that it was a really good move.
Well, before I bring in Rachel, I just want to follow up with you on that, Dr. Ong. I've just returned from the UK, where vaping is everywhere. I mean, it is omnipresent. It's extraordinary. The levels of vaping just on the streets, outside office blocks, in shopping malls, the number of vaping shops in every high street that I went to in the UK, they are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when I was talking to people, Dr. Ong, they were saying it's much better than smoking. It's less harmful to your major organs. It's less harmful to the community. There's less nicotine and so on and so on. There's less harm from passive smoking. Just tell us, for the benefit of our listeners, what are the real harmful effects of vaping compared to cigarette smoking?
Okay, the bottom line, like I said earlier, is that of nicotine addiction being the main issue of that we're talking about here. You don't want to be addicted to something that is potentially harmful to yourself and to other people. So in terms of comparing between vaping and smoking, I think the jury is still out there. Vaping is certainly not safe. It is not 100% safe. In fact, it might be more harmful than smoking, because if you talk about cigarettes being regulated, especially in Singapore, the authorities do test the amount of nicotine that is in batches of cigarettes. But if you talk about vaping, around the world, there's hardly any control or regulation. So and there are so many companies that produce the e-cigs, right? Yeah. And you do not have any idea what is actually in the vapor that you're inhaling.
Dr. Ong, to that point, though, one thing that does come to mind, and this is what I've heard from smokers as well, is with a vaping pen, you don't have the tar that you get from smoking traditional cigarettes, tobacco cigarettes. And also, you know, there are carcinogens in the filters, I believe, the cigarette filters, traditional cigarette filters. What is your opinion on that? Is that a benefit? I'll put that in quotes, for vaping, you know, no tar and perhaps, you know, no carcinogens in the filters?
Yeah. So when vaping was first introduced, the one who invented it, had the idea, and it's by intuition, that if you cut away the smoke in cigarettes, but you still can get the nicotine in your system, it should be less harmful. That is, again, by intuition, because up to now, there has been no controlled trials to look at the harm and benefits of smoking against vaping. So it's introduced as a concept that it should be less harmful because, after all, the carcinogens that you mentioned are in the smoke. So if you do without the smoke, you just inhale a safe liquid containing nicotine, then perhaps it should be less. But however, till now, and it's been about 2 decades since vaping has come into the scene, we can say that it is not harmless. And how harmful it is vis-a-vis cigarettes, the jury is still out there. And whether you can use vaping as a tool to reduce your smoking, that's also undecided.
Let's bring Rachel in on this. Rachel Lee, senior pharmacist at Guardian. We've just had a comment from one of our listeners, Aloysius, saying, I've seen so many teenagers, even students, vaping openly while walking on the streets, I presume, of Singapore. I've also seen it, so has Glenn. I mean, let's get your take on it, Rachel, as a senior pharmacist. Where do you stand on vaping and smoking generally in Singapore?
Hi, Neil and Glenn. Thanks for having me today here.
Sure.
So the thing about it is that I do fully agree with Dr. Ong, and I strongly believe that it is not a safe and it's not a good alternative to when you're quitting smoking to change it to vaping instead, because as he mentioned, there are cancerous agents. You are right to say that there's no tar in vapes and e-cigarettes. But there are cancerous agents and the nicotine content is not regulated. So we don't know how much nicotine content these teenagers are taking in, and that makes it really dangerous. And I think for teenagers, you know, the danger is that when they look at vapes, it comes in all kind of fanciful flavors. It looks, it's like, it's hard to believe that something that looks so innocent can be, you know, can be dangerous, but it is what it is, and that's why it is illegal in Singapore.
Yeah, and it smells so good too. Like cherry flavor, apple flavor, you know, all these great flavors. And I think that was one of the things, you know, when I was growing up, and perhaps you, Neil, when we were in school and kids were smoking, you know, kids didn't want to smoke too much because, frankly, it didn't taste very good, right? You might have become addicted.
Or smell very good.
Yeah, taste or smell. You might have become addicted to the nicotine to keep you coming back. But now I have friends who vape, and they say they vape far more than they ever smoke cigarettes because it tastes good.
I've heard that.
And it smells good, and it's easy to do. And Rachel, I guess that kind of plays in with your point that you were making as well.
Yes, definitely. So I also believe that, you know, the way it tastes can also affect the intake, the nicotine amount inside the e-cigarettes and the vape.
And can I just follow up with you, Rachel, and then get Dr. Ong's perspective on this? I want to play down this element of cancerous agents, because one of the things I hear often, I know friends and family in the UK who vape. There are no cancerous consequences, if I can use such a term, with vaping as there are obviously with cigarettes. And you're saying, Rachel, that is not the case. There is science to show that there are consequences with these cancerous agents.
Yes, I'm not sure what is the prevalence like in Singapore, but I do believe that in the US and in other countries, there have been many hospital cases of what they call a popcorn lungs. So these are caused by the chemicals inside e-cigarettes, and it also caused by perhaps the vitamin E acetate inside e-cigarettes. There are, I believe, a lot of other agents as well that could make you sick, but you know, it's not regulated. We don't know what's in there. They haven't really done any long-term safety profile on it. Yeah, so safety-wise, it's kind of iffy. So it's definitely not a safe alternative when it comes to quitting smoking.
And just to follow up with Dr. Ong, what research or evidence have you seen about the cancerous elements of vaping?
Yeah, so as mentioned by Rachel, there are additives that they put in the e-cigs that are not safe. She mentioned popcorn lung. This is a kind of lung fibrosis, if you like, caused by additives, preservatives in the e-cigarettes. And in terms of carcinogens, yes, there are also evidence there are carcinogens in certain kind of e-cigarettes, and especially in the flavorings. And like you say, whatever makes it smells good and look appear good, these are also cancer-causing substances. And there's one more thing that was very alarming in the States, that young people were coming down with respiratory failure. This is for a few years prior to COVID. So it was becoming an epidemic, about 2,000 young people with no prior medical problems, but just because they are vaping, ending up in the hospital on ventilators due to acute lung injury. Wow. They call it EVALI for short.
Wow.
So, yeah. So certainly, like we are talking from the beginning, that there is no evidence at all that vaping is harmless. And the fact that it's not regulated on a regular basis, meaning that you can inhale whatever into your lungs without knowing what's going to cause.
Yeah. It's shocking when you put it like that.
Yeah. It is interesting. And I know there's been a lot of debate. It should be regulated. It should be researched. And I would believe that the calls for that, or the argument for that, is probably stronger now that so many people are sneaking it in to Singapore and doing it. There's, you know, the cat is out of the bag when it comes to vaping. And I think it's time to regulate it and get ahead of it that way. Because obviously the ban is not working.
And I can't stress enough how prevalent it is in the UK. It is everywhere.
In Singapore, you see it on people doing it everywhere.
I was shocked, actually, how prevalent it was.
A question now. Singapore has a goal now of reducing smoking rates to 5% by the year 2035. The government's been rolling out measures to do this, bans in all public parks and gardens at 10 beaches, 15% tobacco increased. Cigarettes here are already crazy expensive, and an anti-vaping campaign through the National Health Board. Do these measures, Dr. Ong, or actually, Rachel, let's go to you. Do you think that they will have the intended effect, desired effect of getting that smoking rate down to 5%? Because it is an addiction for most people, right, that are doing it.
Well, if you see the rates in the last decade, you will notice that there is definitely a decrease in the smoking prevalence in Singapore. But then again, when we look at the numbers in the last few years, it has always been stagnant at about, 11, 10%. Maybe I'll say in the next couple of years, it might drop to 9%. And to be honest, I feel that Singapore is really putting in a lot of effort to try to reduce it even further. We will see taxation, we see... increasing the legal age of smoking from 18 to 21. We see prohibitions of smoking in more public areas. And so I do think that, they are putting in a lot of effort. But the next problem again is, I believe in the next generation is probably vaping, and a lot has to be done to actually reduce the vaping prevalence here in Singapore. As to whether we can keep it to 5%, I think it's a bit premature to say whether whatever that we are doing works enough for that 5%.
I mean, and we know that lots of changes are happening. My good friend of the show, Louis Ng, the MP for Nee Soon, constantly campaigning in Parliament to ban secondhand smoke. It's an ongoing concern. And I want to bring that question to you, Dr. Ong. It is a political question, so you can answer it from a medical standpoint. If we could ban vaping overnight, as you said yourself, it was literally banned overnight. You can see where I'm going. Why can't we just ban smoking as well? What is stopping us from doing that? From a medical standpoint, should we ban smoking, Dr. Ong?
Certainly, from a medical standpoint, speaking as a medical professional, certainly, if you can, if you have the willpower, if you have the financial resources, ban the cigarettes immediately. But again, you have to think about the current smokers. If you do that, they need help to quit smoking. You cannot just leave them be if you ban overnight the cigarettes. But there is a movement that has been in place for some time to get our younger generation not to smoke at all. It's towards a smoke-free generation. campaign that has been touted, and you just cut off the legal age for smoking from a certain age onwards. Yeah, say those who are born in after 2000, for instance, and since then they would have no more access to cigarettes. So that is one way of doing it, instead of banning overnight 100%. Yep. And what do you do with the current smokers? Yeah.
Just to add to that, Rachel, they're doing something like that already in New Zealand. As of 2023, it will prohibit anyone born on or after January the 1st, 2009, from buying cigarettes in New Zealand. Hmm. So they're going to annually rise the legal age limit for buying smoking tobacco products to eventually phase out smoking. Do you think that's something that could happen in Singapore, Rachel?
Oh, well, I think it's tricky. And the thing about it that it could work for New Zealand is because New Zealand actually approved vaping as an alternative. But in Singapore, so I'm not sure why, because as we all know, it's not legal in Singapore. So perhaps what they are doing is they're switching, smokers to vaping as a safer alternative. And I put in quotes here. So as we all know from our previous discussion, it's definitely not the same.
And this is the challenge. You know,
slight upside down chicken and egg thing.
Exactly.
Here.
And there's no good data. There's no good research to either prove or disprove that vaping is, quote unquote, better for you than not. Hey, we do have to leave it there. I'm sorry to have to say goodbye to you both, but Dr. Ong Kian Chung and Rachel Lee, senior pharmacist at Guardian, thank you so much for both being with us today and trying to shed some light on this ongoing challenge. I'm sure we'll have you on again in the future to discuss it. But for now, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.